and just sing a little chorus as we prepare our hearts for God's word. And I pray this will be your prayer. It's called, Lord, Be Glorified in my heart, in my life, Lord, be glorified in my life, Lord, be glorified. That's all it is. So let's sing it together. In my life, Lord, be glorified, be glorified. In my life, Lord, be glorified today. Amen. Amen. I pray that your sincere prayer this morning. God, you know, I struggled this week a lot personally, and I, you know, just struggled a lot whether to even do this message or not. But you know, I feel like the truth is that we all need to be honest sometimes. You might think, well, that's a stupid thing for a preacher to say, but it's really not. Because we try to play games. We try to play games with each other, and we try to play games with God. You know, kids, you can write this down. God wants us to be honest with Him about how we really feel. The truth is that God is God, and He already knows our innermost beings. He already knows how we really feel about things. And to play games with Him when we're trying to communicate with Him is kind of foolish. Now, you can play games with me and fool me. I'm not really very smart. Or you might can play games with other people in this room and fool them. You're probably not going to fool your husband or wife if you've been married for a while, but you can try that. Psalm 139, verse 23 and 24 says this, and keep in mind that David was a man after God's own heart. It says, search me, O God, and know my heart. Try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. Now again, David was a man after God's own heart. And the reason I believe that he was a man after God's own heart was not because he never sinned. As you know, David was at times a great sinner. He was an adulterer. He was a murderer. He was a liar. And you would think, well, my goodness, if he's all of those things, how could he be a man after God's own heart? Well, I think it had to do a lot with his relationship that was based on honesty. Because even when he did sin greatly, he would pray prayers like the one we just read. And he understood that God already knew what was in his heart. See, one of the biggest mistakes I believe that a Christian, or anyone else for that matter, can make is this idea that God doesn't really know me. God doesn't really understand me. God doesn't know what is really going on in my heart and in my life. And kids, write this down. God understands you better than you understand yourself. How many times have you looked in the mirror and thought to yourself, I don't understand why I did that? Why do I do things like that? Or you get in a fuss with somebody that you love, and you fuss, and they confront you with things, and you realize they're right. And you say to yourself, why do I do that? I don't understand why I do that. Paul was like this. He said, I find myself doing the things that I don't want to do. We don't understand ourselves, not really, but God understands us. And David knew this, and that was what made him a man after God's own heart. And whenever he felt something, he felt free to express that to God. And it's interesting because David expressed negative feelings to God. Now, we're brought up, oh, you're never supposed to bring up anything negative. You're not supposed to bring up anything negative in your marriage. You're not supposed to bring up anything negative to your children. You're not supposed to bring up negative things to your friend about to your friends or about your friends or with your friends. You're certainly not supposed to bring up anything negative to God. But then we look in the Word of God and we see this. David, for example, David, write it down. Kids, if you're taking notes, he expressed anger. Over in Psalm 42:9, it says, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? God, why are you letting my enemy win here? And then, not only does he express anger to God about God, he expresses anger about other people. And in fact, he gets very angry sometimes. In Psalm 58:6-9, it says, break their teeth. Oh, he's talking about his enemy. He says, break their teeth, O God, in their mouth. Break out the great teeth of the young lions. The young lions are these guys that are pursuing him. O Lord, let them melt away as waters which run continually. When he bendeth his bow to shoot his arrows, let them be cut as in pieces. As a snail which melteth, let every one of them pass away. What is he saying? He said, you ever pour salt on a snail? He says, all right, God, pour salt on them and melt them. Like the untimely birth of a woman, that they may not see the sun. Before your pots can feel the thorns, he shall take them away as with a whirlwind, both living and in his wrath. In other words, he says, God, kill them. Kill them all. He expressed anger. He also expressed despair. Write that down, despair. Psalm 55:4-5 says, my heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are fallen upon me. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror hath overwhelmed me. Oh, he's having a bad day. And he doesn't mind expressing that to God. In Psalm 44:24-25, it says, wherefore hidest thou thy face and forgettest our affliction and our oppression? For our soul is bowed down to the dust, our belly cleaveth unto the earth. I am lower than a snake's belly. That's what he's saying. He's depressed, and he doesn't mind telling God that. He doesn't mind at times blaming God for that, you know. He expressed confusion in Psalm 13:1-2. How long will you forget me, O Lord? Forever? How long wilt thou hide thy face from me? How long shall I take counsel in my soul, having sorrow in my heart daily? How long shall my enemy be exalted over me? I'm confused, God. How wrong people are when they think that it's some sort of a sin to express negative emotions to God. You know, the truth is, if you are experiencing those negative emotions, God already knows about them. God already knows you. He knows what's going on inside you. He knows about that. And being afraid to express them honestly with God does nothing but build this wall of hurt between ourselves and God. It's just like with other people. If you're trying to be close to somebody and you just refuse to be honest, you build a wall in that relationship. You do it in your relationship with your husband or your wife. You do it in your relationship with your kids and kids. You do it in your relationship with your parents. But David was a man after God's own heart, and he expressed those emotions. Even though they were negative, he expressed them to God. But he also expressed positive emotions. He expressed love. He expressed love. Psalm 42, 1 and 2 says, "As the deer panteth after the water, so my soul pants after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" He says, it's kind of like one of my daughters used to be every time she had a test. And I used to do this. I'd say, "Oh, Lord Jesus, come back today," you know. That was not necessarily an expression of love. That was an expression of, "I don't want to take that test, so come on back," you know. I thought it would be funny if he came back and said, "But wait, take your test, and then you can come to heaven." No, God ain't going to do that. But, you know, he had a desire and a love for God that made him want to be with God. That's real. He expressed trust in Psalm 27, 1 through 3. He says, "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my light. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even mine enemies and my foes, come upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise against me, in this I will be confident." He trusted God. Man, he spent half his life being chased around, trying to be murdered. But he trusted God. And he expressed praise. Oh, Psalm 145, you remember that? "I will extol thee, my God, O King, and I will bless thy name forever and ever. Every day will I bless thee, and I will praise thy name forever and ever. Great is the Lord, and greatly to be praised, and his greatness is unsearchable." And I've also noticed this. Whenever David does start off negative and down and feeling sorry for himself, usually before that psalm is over, he's back up walking with the Lord again. Because when he doesn't dwell on it, he expresses it and he moves on. So it's a good thing to express how you really feel with God. But I've noticed in my ministry that a person who has trouble expressing negative feelings toward God also has trouble expressing positive feelings. You know why? Because they have trouble expressing feelings, period. They just have trouble. You know, I can relate to that. I struggle with that. And it's true, because not expressing the negative feelings will eventually build up a wall of these feelings that's going to make a relationship extremely superficial. And a person will only have a surfacey relationship with God and the deeper truths of the Holy Spirit and the Word of God will elude them. Not expressing your honest feelings to God leads to hopelessness. And you begin to believe the lies of Satan. You see, Satan is perfectly content for you to have a surface relationship in two areas. One is in your relationship with God, and the other is in your relationship with Him. He doesn't want you to know He's a liar, you know. And He doesn't want you close to God. You know, so He's content, and He'll leave you alone if you just got this little surfacing, you know. And that's what's happened to many of our churches and many modern Christians. We have these surface relationships with God, and Satan doesn't ever bother us because we got a surface relationship, and that's nothing. So he just leaves us alone. But failure to be honest with God, write this down, will always lead to feeling like God doesn't really care. It will lead to you feeling unlovable. It will lead to you feeling worthless, like nobody will ever be able to really and truly love you. It's like being in this rut and feeling unable to ever change, and you'll feel like a failure. You'll feel like you always will be one. You feel like if people really knew you, that they would never be able to really love you or even like you. So you pretend to be someone that you're really not. You know, maybe you've been there. I have. I get that way. I even get that way. I've been that way since I was your pastor at times. I get down on myself and, you know. I think we all do, if we're honest. That we, you know, we were watching this thing that Chuck Carroll gave us about Spurgeon, the greatest preacher who ever lived, Charles Haddon Spurgeon. And he struggled with depression mightily his entire life. Many people did. I was reading about this young lawyer, you know, and he just struggled so much with depression. Wasn't a Christian, but he just struggled with so much with depression. And in fact, finally his friends came in and took his razor and sharp knives and all of that out of his home because they were so afraid he was going to try to take his own life. And as a result, he grew a beard, you know, because he didn't have any way to shave. So you know, but he said this. He said, this is a quote. He says, "I am now the most miserable man living. Whether I shall ever be better, I cannot tell. I fear I shall not." Fortunately, several years later, that young man came to know the Lord, and his outlook on things like that changed. You know, and Abraham Lincoln became a great man, we all know. But it took salvation. It took, when he was in the office, his son died. Many people don't know that. His son died while he was in office, got a fever and died. And that was what brought him to Jesus as his Savior. And that was what turned his life around. He only lived a few more years after that, of course. But people, the point is, if we are not able to be totally honest with God, and with others, of course, then we are going to struggle more with things like this, you know. Perhaps you've let other people's faults. Perhaps you've become bitter because of other people's faults, because of whatever. That sometimes that embitters you toward God. I like poems, you know. You like poems, don't you? This is a good poem. "There once was an oyster whose story I tell, who found that the sand had got under his shell. Just one little grain, but it gave him much pain. For oysters have feelings, although they're so plain. Now did he berate the working of fate? which had led him to such a deplorable state? Did he curse out the government and call for an election? No, as he lay on the shelf, he said to himself, if I cannot remove it, I'll try to improve it. So the years rolled by, as years always do, and he came to his ultimate destiny, stew. And this small grain of sand which had bothered him so was a beautiful pearl, all richly aglow. And the tale has a moral, for isn't it grand what an oyster can do with a morsel of sand? What couldn't we do if we'd only begin with all of the things that get under our skin? We allow things to get under our skin and we become bitter and angry and fussy. And we won't talk to God about it. We won't talk to anybody else about it except to fuss about it. You know. Peggy, that's why they won't preach this today. You know. Becky, you know. I've had a rough couple of days with the irritating things, you know. And then I got that thing from Lou Johnson. And I thought to myself, you know, I don't have a problem. There ain't anybody here's got a problem compared to Lou and Brandy and them. He's got a little girl they don't know, you know, what's wrong, and his wife, they don't know what's wrong with her, and he's in Africa trying to take care of a wife and a sick child, and you know. Understand, folks. It's all part of God's plan. It all is. If it carries over to our relationship with God, we're in very bad trouble. Now, David, the man after God's own heart, he struggled with these feelings. You know, he struggled with them. You know, even worse feelings. But he was victorious because he expressed himself honestly with God. Now, God loves you and values you. He created you just as you are. And if you'll come to Him honestly just as you are, He will begin to work in your life. He will begin to change your life and to be more and more like Him. He'll begin to make you into that pearl of great value. John 10:10 says, a thief cometh not but for to steal and to kill and to destroy. But I am come that they might have life and that they might have it more abundantly. Satan the thief would have you to believe that God wants only the good parts of you. No. God wants all of you and all of me. Paul says that while we were still sinners, that Christ died for us. Write this down. God loves you unconditionally. He is not like us. You see, we place conditions on our love. As long as I am your pastor and I act in a certain way, you will love me. If I don't act like you think I should act, then the love can stop. And we do this to everyone. Parents do this to children. Children do this to parents. Husbands and wives do it to each other. We all do it to each other. And we say, oh, I love you, I love you, I love you, and love you. And then the first mistake somebody makes, I don't love them anymore. Can you believe that? I was thinking, wait, about that poor old boy in the paper. We just need to pray for that old boy. You know, I don't understand why somebody could walk away from King Jesus. As God is my witness, I can't imagine me ever doing that, but I can't say that it won't ever happen. But as God is my witness, I will tell you this, if I ever do walk away from Him, He won't quit loving me. He will still love me no matter what my feelings toward him are. Oh. We place such conditions. And because we all do this, we just naturally expect that God does it too. But that's a result of our sinful nature. It's not of God, because God loves us unconditionally. This is not to say that he condones sin. I'm not saying, I'm not saying that. But it is to say that his love surpasses our sin. Say it with me. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. He loved you and me enough to die for us in spite of our sins. I got two invitations this morning. If you don't know Jesus, accept his love. Accept him as your Savior. He died for you, and you don't have to live up to whatever, some kind of goofy expectations or whatever. You come as you are to him. Jesus Christ died on this cross before you were ever born. He looked at your sins, every sin you've ever committed, and he paid for them. And if you're willing to turn from them to him and call upon him in belief, he will save you this morning. And then he will begin to walk with you, and you can become a man or a woman after God's own heart like David and live honestly with him. That's my first invitation. My second invitation is for Christians to begin to be honest with him. I read this little article, I saw this thing on the news about how they're burning up the rainforest in Brazil, and that's painful. And I had read this several years ago that over 1 million acres that once held trees that are paved over every year. And we know oxygen is where we get our life, and we die without it. And so when we pave over the trees, we're kind of beginning to suffocate ourselves. Now, that's not what I'm preaching on. I'm not a real green preacher, but it's an illustration. When you harden your feelings against God's leadership, it's like paving over an area of your life. And then you harden your feelings toward his leadership in another area. You pave over another area, and pretty soon you're suffocated. Romans 2:5 says, "By your hard and impenitent hearts you are storing up wrath for yourself." He was writing to Christians. You see, we cannot always express our true feelings with each other. And I don't even advocate that. Always. But we can to God, because he already knows him. And I want to encourage Christians to repent of their attempted dishonesty with God today and pray, "Search me, O God, and know my heart, and try me and know my thoughts, and see if there be any wicked way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting." Let's pray. Father, we just thank you so much for the way that you are willing to love us in spite of ourselves. Oh Lord, we're all such rotten, pitiful sinners. We just are. That's okay. You love us anyway. And Lord, help us to realize